Open your Bibles to 1 Kings 18, 1 Kings chapter 18. And I want to read a couple of verses here in chapter 18. 1 Kings 18. Look at verse 38. 1 Kings 18, 38. And I'll just select this first line for my title. 1 Kings 18:38. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And then look over at verse 45. And it came to pass, in the meanwhile, the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was great rain. I could give this another title. First the fire, and then the water. If there had been no fire, there wouldn't have been any water. Well, let's go back and see how this all started. What do you say? Go back to chapter 16. And, you know, this is in the northern kingdom. You know, the nation had been divided. Got two different parts. Got the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And you'll remember this. The northern kingdom never, ever had a godly king. I mean, they fell headlong into idolatry. Now, the southern kingdom had a few. Thank God, they had a few. But the northern kingdom, they didn't have any. They didn't have any. Now, look here in chapter 16, verse 29. And in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, Judah's the southern kingdom, two tribes, southern kingdom, in the 38th year of Asa, when his reigning in Judah, began Ahab to reign. He's the son of Omri. He began to reign in Israel. He's in the northern kingdom, in the capital city of Samaria. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing, for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshiped him. Now, Baal was the supreme male god of the Canaanites. He's the sun god. He's the god of heat. He's the god of fire. He's the god of warmth. File that away in your memory banks. All right? Baal. He's the chief male god. And this man Ahab, when he married Jezebel, they had to go a long way to find a church where Baal was worshipped, see. So he just decided to build a temple right there locally so he wouldn't have to go to church, please his wife. And not only that, let's keep reading here. Verse 32, he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. There's that new church building he built. All right? But he did more than that. He made a grove. Now, if you look up that word, it's Ashtaroth. She was a female goddess. You see, in every city, Baal had a girlfriend. But he had a different girlfriend in every city. And in this city, it was Ashtaroth. She's the goddess of good fortune and luck. That's who Ashtaroth was. And Ahab, he built a grove. He built these, I don't know whether they were trees that he planted or posts that he planted. It was a very sacred place. Very sacred place to him and to Jezebel. He made a grove, verse 33, and Ahab did more to provoke the God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. And all of these, or with Baal and Ashtaroth, they had a bunch of priests. Men who were in charge of the worship of Baal and the worship of Ashtaroth. And even while Ahab was king, something else happened. Look at verse 34. And in his days, did Hiel, the Bethlehemite, build Jericho. He rebuilt Jericho. And he laid the foundation thereof in Abiram, his firstborn. That is, his firstborn son died when Jericho was being rebuilt. And he set up the gates thereof. In his youngest son, Segub, his youngest son was the one who kind of finished off building the city. And that all happened just exactly like Joshua said it was going to happen. Joshua said, the man who rebuilds this cursed city, his firstborn son is going to die in it. And his youngest son is going to be the one who finally hangs the gates. What idolatry. This is the nation. This is the nation to whom God gave the sacrifices and the priesthood. This is the nation to whom God gave the Passover lamb. This is the nation to whom God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. This is the nation that knew that principle that runs all the way through the Bible, that if the guilty are to go free, and if a holy God is going to be worshipped, you got to have a suitable sacrifice.
Amen.
And the prophets of God, they set forth Messiah. Christ said, they spoke of me. He said, Moses wrote of me. But now Israel is in such a mess. There's no more thoughts of Messiah. There's no more thoughts of the Lamb of God. There's no more thoughts of the Son of God. Let's worship Baal. And Ahab said, listen, all you in my kingdom, we're going to worship Baal. And I got a new church building. Come on down. Everybody's welcome. It's a church where everybody's somebody. Come on down to us. And in the afternoon, go down and visit Ashtaroth Grove. Worship down there. And we'll have Jericho rebuilt. The city under a curse. And in the midst of all of this pagan idolatry, God raised up a man. Chapter 17, verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite. Don't know anything about his youth. Don't need to. He just all of a sudden comes on the scene. You know what his name means? Jehovah is God. Jehovah is God. He was of the inhabitants of Gilead. And he said to Ahab, he goes right to the king. I mean, he goes right to the top. He said, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, that God you don't know anything about, That God you don't worship. That God you've mocked. That God you've rebelled against. That God whose word you despise. That God whose method of salvation you've turned your back on. You've despised substitution. You've despised the sacrifice. Well, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand as His ambassador, as His prophet, there's not going to be any dew, and there's not going to be any rain these years till I say so. And he closed his Bible and left. No word of mercy. No word of grace. He didn't say, Ahab, God loves you and got a wonderful plan for your life. Ahab is the most powerful man in the world. He's one man, prophet of God. I got something to say to you. As the Lord God of Israel liveth, yeah, there's going to be no dew, not going to be any rain till I give the word. Now, fast forward to chapter 18. Now, it's been about 3.5 years now. Verse 1, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, time to go see Ahab again. Go show thyself unto Ahab, and I'll send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria, capital city. Well, Ahab called Obadiah. Now, Obadiah is a servant of God. He feared the Lord. In fact, when Jezebel sent word out, and I don't have time to read all this, but when Jezebel sent word out, let the prophet, those prophets that represent Jehovah, let them starve. Don't give them any food. Obadiah said, I can't let that happen. And he found as many of them as he could find. Obadiah did. He found 100 sovereign grace preachers. Men who preach Christ. Men who preach redemption. Men who preach the blood. Men who believed in grace. And he said, come on, boys. I know Jezebel has cut off the supply lines. I got 2 caves. I'm going to hide y'all in the caves. I'm going to give you some bread and water. That's the best thing to do. Best thing to do. Well, meanwhile, old Ahab came to Obadiah and said, we got to go out here and find some new pasture, fresh pasture for my cattle. He wasn't worried about the people. He worried about his prosperity. Man, my cattle, they got that fresh pasture. So he said, Obadiah, you go that way and I'll go this way. Let's find some fresh pasture. So Obadiah, though he was a servant of God, he had this high position in Ahab's kingdom, and they go in opposite directions. Ahab and Obadiah's walking along, and he comes upon this man, and he says, hey, you Elijah. He said, that's right. Elijah said, you go tell Ahab I've come to see him. And Obadiah said, no, you don't want to see Ahab. He's been looking all over the kingdom for you. He wants your head on a chopping block because he blames all this famine on you. Elijah said, you go tell Ahab that I want to see him. And Obadiah said, do you promise you're going to be here when I get back with him? Because if you're not, he's going to kill me. Elijah said, I'm waiting on him. You see, God's servants are not cowards. They're men. They're men. He says in verse 15, chapter 18, Elijah said, as the Lord God of hosts liveth, he's talking to Obadiah, Before whom I stand, chapter 18, verse 15, I will surely show myself unto him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. He's the most powerful man in the world. He gets a summons from the prophet of God. You come meet me. And he did. Verse 17, it came to pass. When Ahab saw Elijah, that Elijah said unto him, are you the one that's troubling Israel? This is all your fault. That's the way it is, human nature, blaming it on somebody else. But the servant of God said, verse 18, I have not troubled Israel. This is not my fault. It's you. It's you. It's your rebellion. It's your ungodliness. It's your idolatry. You don't think anything of the God of Israel. The Lord God who sent me, who must be worshipped by a blood sacrifice, you turn thumbs down on him. You worship in Baal. You worship in Ashtaroth. And God has dried up the heavens. But don't blame this on me. That's your fault. And he says, but thou and thy father's house, in that you've forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Baal. Now therefore you sin. Look, this man's in charge. He's telling the king. He said, you sinned and gathered to me all of Israel and the Mount Carmel and the prophets of Baal. Tell them to come. I want to see them all. I want to look into their eyes. Bunch of devils. Bunch of liars. Bunch of work mongers. Bunch of free will preachers. Bunch of fellows that are saying God can only do what you let him do. I want to see them. I want to look at them. And the prophets of the grove, you tell Jezebel to send all them prophets, all them preachers of Ashtaroth. Call them in from their revival meetings. Bring them in from the mission field. I want to see them. All of them had eaten at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and he gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. Picture the scene. You see there in verse 20, Elijah came unto all the people. I want you to get this scene in your mind. It's early in the morning. The crowds are making their way to Mount Carmel. Everybody's going. Reckon we'll see a miracle today? I bet you we're going to get rain. I bet you we're going to get water. Now listen, ain't nobody thinking about the fire. But what they didn't know, and what this generation doesn't know, is this. If there's no fire, there ain't going to be no water. Till the justice of God is satisfied. Till the wrath of God is poured out on a sacrifice that is acceptable to God and appointed by God and approved by God, till the fire is poured out, the heavens are going to be dry. There's no water. No water going to come from God. With joy shall ye draw water from the wells of salvation. But there ain't going to be no wells of salvation if the fire don't fall. Don't you forget that now. Burst the fire. Burst. You see, God's got to do something for himself before he can do something for us. I'm thirsty for salvation. God's gave me a thirst. And by his grace, I've drawn water from the wells of salvation. Christ stood and cried the last day of the feast and said, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. Bless God, there's the water of salvation for poor, wretched, doomed, damned, lost sinners like you and me, but not without the fire. Oh, the justice got me satisfied. Everybody's going to the meeting that day. Everybody gathers together. Here comes the prophets of Baal. Here comes the prophets of Ashtaroth. They're all coming in with their robes, maybe burning candles, got their little turbans on. Don't they look so pretty? There's my preacher right there. Hey, preacher! Good marching in. Here comes Ahab, and the trumpets are sounding. Oh, this is a big deal. And there's the prophet of God. The prophet of God. A voice. Thank God he raises up a voice. Somebody to tell the truth. Here's 850 against one. Boy, he didn't back down though. He didn't back down. Because he's got the truth. He's got the truth. He says in verse 21, he came to all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? You teeter-tottering here. If the Lord be God, if Jehovah is God, if that one who said, I am that I am, if he's God, if he's the God of creation and the God of providence and the God of salvation, if Jehovah is God, follow him. Worship him, adore him, believe him. But if it's Baal, your sun god, god of warmth, god of heat, god of fire, well then follow him. And they didn't answer him a word. And Elijah said unto the people, I remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. So, he said, I got an idea. Here's what we're doing. You know the story. Let these prophets build an altar. We get a couple of bullocks. Let them offer a sacrifice to Baal. And if Baal is God, let Baal consume the sacrifice with fire. Now, that's a good idea to Israel because they knew the Lord God of Israel is a God of fire. He appeared to Moses out of a burning bush. And so Elijah said to those fellows, you choose the bullock. You go first. And it says, and you call on your gods. But now don't put no fire in it now. I don't want to see no matches out here. I don't want to see no lighters. All right? They took the bullet. Verse 26, it was given to them. They dressed it, called on the name of Baal from morning to full noon. Ah, they said, oh, Baal, hear us. We love you. We've been tithing to you. We've been faithful to you. Now, come on now. Come on, Baal. But there was no voice. Nor any of that answered. They jumped up on the altar. They really didn't charismatic now. They lift up on the altar, which was mainly dancing around on the altar. This is a real religious experience. And it came to pass at noon, when Baal was supposed to be in his strength, high noon, sun god, fire, warmth. Elijah mocked him and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he's talking, he's probably arguing with those free willers. They won't let him have his way. He's talking to them, or he's pursuing them, or he's on vacation. Or maybe you've just wearied him so much he's sleeping. After all, your God mighty weak and must be awakened. And that just stirred him up. We'll show you. And they cried louder, and cut themselves. This is dedication. This is commitment. This is zeal. But there's no truth. See, that's what we got today in religion. You got a lot of zeal. You got a lot of tomfoolery. You got a lot of activity. You got a lot of dancing on the altar. But they don't have any fire. They don't have any truth. And they did it till the blood gushed out. It came to pass when midday was passed that they prophesied to the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that they didn't know anything about. That lamb that died at 3:00 in the afternoon as a type of our Lord Jesus Christ, God's lamb, dying for sinners to satisfy God's justice, they had no respect for that. That's what's going on back in Jerusalem. There's no voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, now come on in here real close. Look at that. Look at verse 30. Come near to me. And all the people came near to him. He said, here's what he's doing. I want you to see there's no hocus pocus here. Ain't nothing up my sleeve. Come on in close. Come on. Y'all come on in close over here. You see, God's truth will bear close investigation.
Amen.
Won't it? That's why we open up the Word of God. We say, follow us. This will bear investigation. And we say, investigate. Take the Word of God. Put us to the test. Everything we say, you follow along. Go home, read your Bible, see if these things are so. Ain't no hocus pocus here. We're not saying you don't need a Bible. We'll tell you everything you need to know. We're your priest. We'll talk to God for you. We'll pray to God for you. And all you got to do is just listen to us. Read your Bible. You got that on your sign. Read your Bible. This will bear investigation. If Christ's the only way, read the book. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Is Mary a mediator with God? No! There's one God and one mediator between God and me and the man Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Read the book. The truth will bear close investigation. Come on in here real close. That's what it said. And all the people came near unto him. And then, oh, he did something really important. He repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. That altar is a place of worship. That's where God said he'd meet with men. I'll meet with you and you'll meet with me at the altar. At the place of sacrifice. Where the blood is shed. That's where I'll meet with you. And Elijah started rebuilding that altar. He didn't polish up the stones. You mentioned that the other night. He just piled up them rocks. The altar of the Lord would be repaired. We'd go back to preaching Jesus Christ, Him crucified. You turn on your television, you turn on your radio, and you'll listen for hours and hours and hours, and you won't hear anybody exalting the Son of God. You won't hear anybody talking about Christ. Oh, they'll mention the name of Jesus every once in a while. But they don't talk about who God is in His holiness, in His righteousness. They don't talk about what we are in our sinfulness, in our pollution. And they don't talk about how God can be just and justifier of the likes of you and me. They don't talk about it because they don't know about it. They can't tell what they don't know. They don't know it. They don't know Him. He built the altar. Oh, bless his heart. Elijah built the altar. Took 12 stones because this is for God's people. See, the sacrifice is for God's people. It's for God's true Israel, like Todd talked about the other night, Philippians chapter 3. We are the circumcision. They're not, we are. We're Israel. We're the seed of Abraham. We're the promised seed, the miracle seed, like Isaac was. He took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, and saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord for the glory of God. And he made a trench around the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. He put the wood in order, cut the bullock in pieces. Cut the bullock in pieces. He's doing it according to the law. You gonna worship God? You worship God God's way. Don't just throw that bullock up on the altar. Cut it in pieces like God said. Laid him on the wood. And he said, now fill 4 barrels of water. Pour it on the burnt sacrifice on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. Do it, and they did it the second time. He said, do it the third time. Did it the third time. Water ran round about the altar, filled the trenches with water. He said, I want to show you that it is humanly impossible to ignite this wood and this sacrifice.
Amen.
Because you see, salvation with men, it's an impossibility.
Amen.
You can't save yourself. You can't redeem yourself. You can't make peace with God. You can't satisfy His justice. It's impossible. Who then can be saved? It's impossible with us, but it's possible with God. But just one way. Just one way for the water to flow. The fire. Got to be the fire. Ain't no other way. The visual. Let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel. Show these people your God. And that I am thy servant. Not that I am thy prophet, though he was. Not that I am thy preacher, though he was. Not that I am thine ambassador, though he was. He said, just show him I'm your servant. You're my master. You're my master. And that everything I've done, I did it because you said so. We do this on the authority of God's word. Hear me, O Lord, he said, verse 32. Hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Them. Todd talked about that word. Them. Them. The fire of the Lord fell. But it was an unusual fire. You see, you usually start the fire. Let's get that wood. Get that kindling in there. Put a little newspaper in there and get that kindling. Get that going and get them big sticks of wood going. After that's going, then the sacrifice. No, this fire's not like that. This fire starts at the top, goes to the bottom. You see that? The fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice. That's on top. And then the wood.
Yeah.
And then the stones. You ever built a campfire? Did your fire consume stones? There's something about this fire. And then it licked up the dust, or licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. Let me tell you something. This was a bunch of rebels right here, a bunch of sinners, a bunch of pagan idolaters. And they all deserve to be swept off the face of God's earth right on into hell. Just like you and me. But you know what God did for them? He gave them water. Ain't that just like God? And you and me. We're not deserving the least of His mercy. Suppose it bothers that anything this side of hell is mercy. But God, in His wisdom, found the ransom. He found the way whereby His stern, rigid, inflexible law would be honored and His own holy integrity would be upheld. He could punish sin, pour out His wrath, and save you and me. In the person of the glorious Lamb of God, Jesus Christ the Lord. What good news. What good news. But you know something? When Christ died, every other sacrifice, the fire of God consumed it. In fact, in the Old Testament, that's how God showed that He accepted the sacrifice. The fire would come, devour the sacrifice. But when Christ died, the fire didn't devour Him. He devoured the fire. He took it all. Everything that we would have suffered forever. Can you comprehend it? Whatever the wages of sin is in that eternal death, Christ paid them.
Amen.
He bore the stroke of divine justice. The fire fell on Him, and bless God, the rain falls on you and me. And we drink. And we're refreshed. Saved by God's free and sovereign grace. Elijah said to his servant, or said to Ahab, you better get off this mountain because rain is coming. You see, when the justice of God is satisfied, the rain's got to flow. The rain's got to fall. That's right. Christ's death, his work of obedience in His life and in His death guaranteed. He said it's finished. It's finished. And the rain's going to fall. And the thirsty are going to drink. You thirsty? Then drink. Plenty of water because the fire is falling. Thank you all for your kind attention, your hospitality. God bless you.